Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're at Christ the King Sunday. Now, you probably figured that out. I've said it a couple times. And those first few lessons make you think very kingly things. Power, might, glory, honor. And then you get to the gospel lesson. Doesn't seem to be quite the same, does it? We go from all this talk about Jesus being Lord and King and dominion and reign to Jesus and Pilate in this interesting conversation, which from worldly eyes, the way most of us are taught, Pilate seems to have all the cards in this deal. He has the authority to set Jesus free or condemn him. He has the authority of Rome behind himself. He is the one seated on a throne or chair of authority. Seems strange, doesn't it? Seems strange that of all the lessons that we could have chosen from all the Gospels, the church on this day chose this. Except, it makes a lot of sense. Put it this way. Most of us, probably in the world around us, are looking for some answers to things. Sometimes this life can be disturbing, cannot make sense. We'd love to have a revelation of the King, the Lord, the plan, all this stuff of greatness. And the church has for thousands of years now proclaimed Jesus as King and yet missed his presence in every generation. And back before that in the Old Testament, people always missed God's presence until it was later. It's only later that they went, duh. Oh, that Abraham guy. Yeah, that the Moses guy. He made sense. But at the times that God was at work among them, they didn't recognize. The church, the early church, the people, the leaders of Israel did not recognize Jesus. In the early church, quite often the people we think of as saints and leaders were laughed at, like the prophets, or killed, run out of town, all kinds of things. I bet you that we, the people of God, have missed God's presence in every generation, including our own. And only in hindsight we go, oh, that's where God was at work. Because while we want a king, we don't like the kind of king we get, do we? That's where it really comes down. That's where these lessons, the contrast of them remind us, like many things in faith, it's not so simple. Let's cry out the King, the Lord, and we say the word king, we expect power and authority and dominion over others. And what we get is a God who serves, cares, forgives his enemies, binds up the brokenhearted, heals those who are in need, suffers insults, dies on a cross, who takes a motley group of guys called disciples who wouldn't make anybody's final list for any job and turns them into the leaders of the church. This is not a God that matches up to our expectations. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. Because the God we proclaim is not like the other gods, the other powers of this world. God has chosen deliberately to not be that way. Yes, we believe in the midst of our troubled times that we live in, like all the troubled times that have gone before us and those that will follow us, that God still is God and in charge and does have a plan. But in the midst of it, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, especially if we keep expecting God to be like the other gods, the gods of this world, the kings and powers and rulers who dominate others, who exercise authority as something to stomp people underfoot with. Doesn't work that way to God. Doesn't work that way to God. And we're coming up on Advent. Yeah, I know, most of us are skipping over to Christmas. But Advent is coming, starting next week. And the message of Advent is that we are to wait, to look for, to seek out, and search for God's presence. God is coming. That sense of coming is what Advent's all about. And it's good that we have that before Christmas. And we need it now, especially we need it with this Christ the King Sunday, because we're reminded that we've been looking wrongly for God in every generation before us. We expect God to come with the power and the mightiful. We expect God to dominate and oppress. And God has chosen to come with the lowly, the despised, the outcast. So if we're really going to do this Advent searching for God, we're going to have to realign our vision, realign our hearing, realign our hearts to look for a different kind of king. A different kind of king. One who doesn't come with that sense of power as we think of it, as in domination, but in the sense of a God who comes to use his power to restore, to heal, to bind up, to love those that are unloved, to take those that are powerless and give them hope. This is the God that we worship on Christ the King Son. That's why this lesson is here. To get us out of the wrong framework when we miss God at work, because we're not looking for the God who comes in the lowly and the despised and the outcast. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. And what God has done in the church for 2,000 years. People thought God would come this way. He comes in a different way. People wrote off this group of people, and they were the very people that God was at work in over and over and over. So this Christ the King Sunday, we're being asked to retool our whole senses, to realign to all the things that we assume we know about God, and to be ready to be surprised and amazed at the God who sneaks up on us. Now, you may have stories like this, but I have one favorite story I like to tell. Just one small example. You can recollect your own. You know, most of you know I'm a big Beatles fan. I love their music. And so the last year and this year and next year, we're on these 50th anniversaries of the height of their musical power. And I was able to confirm the reality of a story I'd heard a long time ago. Actually got it documented out, so I know it's true when I tell you this. When the Beatles were recording their landmark album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, they were working all kinds of strange hours. Now, part of that was probably a little chemical inducement along the way. But like a lot of artists, they like to work in cycles. And their basic cycle of working was about 11 o'clock at night to about 6 in the morning. That's when they found their creativity to really go. And their poor producer, George Martin, would never know when they wanted to come in and record. And in those days, the Beatles didn't own the studio, so they had to fit them in. And sometimes he couldn't put them in Abbey Road, the studio of which they're best known in. Sometimes they'd say about 10 o'clock, oh, we're coming in an hour, George. Can you get us a place to pray? And he'd have to scramble. Well, they were working on a song called Fixing a Hole, which I'll get back to in a minute. And they could not get into Abbey Road because the studio was booked. So George Martin booked them in Trident Studios on the other side of London. That fits into the story. So they had to travel. So they were gathering around Paul's house, and we're going to go over together. The doorbell rang. In those days, believe it or not, you could actually ring somebody's doorbell, you know, there weren't security guards outside. And Paul says, well, this is Paul's house, so who's there? The man says, it's Jesus. And Paul says, And he and John start laughing, and they apparently had a very good sense of humor, and says, come on in. So they invite this guy in. And like I said, these are different days than ours now. And they get to talk to the guy, and they said, come on and go with us to the studio. Because as Paul said, we didn't really think it was Jesus, but hey, who are we to know, you know? Strange things happen in life, you know. And like I say, they were having a good laugh over it. So they grab Jesus and take him to the studio. And he sits in the back. And they record this song, which is not one of their big hits, but one of their pronounced songs, because they use this imagery of fixing a hole to talk about repairing life. If you read the lyric, it's all about putting back things together that are broken, that are leaky in our lives, and how fixing our lives makes us happy and healthy. You know, it uses a lot of imagery for that. It doesn't say it. And they were real pleased with that, and they turned around and they were going to ask Jesus what he thought, and the guy was gone. Never saw him before in their lives, never saw him again afterwards. And Paul McCartney is quoted, and I've got all that down. He say, you never know, do you? We got to laugh over it, but do you really ever know? And that's what Christ the King Sunday is meant to say to us, that we don't know who it is that we will encounter Jesus among. Now, not literally Jesus, but Jesus in the face of the poor, the oppressed, our enemies, those people who are pushed to the side. That's what Jesus says. As you do it to the least of these, it's not a threat, but an opportunity. Because God will be among us. That is his promise as King and Lord of time. He has not abandoned 2018/2019. He's here. But he's not here where we expect him to be. He's here out among people. The people that we encounter that we could easily brush off. The people who we can't depend on to do things for us. People who don't owe us. The people who are around us. Maybe the very ones we think the least of may indeed be Jesus at work among us. So if we're going to serve this King, if we take seriously that we're part of this kingdom, then we do need to retool our thinking and our looking and all to look into each other's eyes, not just here, but especially when we leave. With amazement and wonder and attention, because we will encounter Jesus, the King. Amen.